Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
We're not going to panic. We're going to stay solid in our locker room and, you know, be a family. We're 4-2. You know, we understand that we got to stay ahead of the curve and get things rolling. And it's no panic, but there is a sense of urgency in this locker room that we have to be better, myself included, and myself leading that charge. So there's things throughout the game that I need to do better for this team to be in a better situation throughout the game. I think that's going to help all facets. So we'll learn from it, like I said. And this is a game that obviously it sucks, looking back at the stats and the score sheet and whatever, but a lot of things to learn from.
Right after the game, isn't always the best time for perspective, especially, you know, after last week and now this week. Two good opponents, I know, but the minute losing gets easy is not a good deal. There's no moral victories. We've got to really look at our football team and be truthful with ourselves and say, what do we have to get corrected and have those conversations? We do that, our team will move forward as we continue to grow through the season. We'll peak at the right time. You know, at this point, that remains to be seen.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back, Bills Football Tuesday. Continuing, going to get back to your calls in a moment. 803-0550. In a nutshell, the defense couldn't get off the field. The offense didn't score enough. And a back-to-back clunker performances for the Bills in primetime against Tennessee and Kansas City. Yeah, you're caught up. So 803-0550. I have a question for you, Jeremy, before we get back to the calls.
I'm supposed to have an answer.
Yesterday, you asked me, in some way, shape, or form, am I worried about the defense? Or we've talked about it really for a week. Are you worried about the defense? You worried about the offense after the last two games? We mentioned
yes.
The running game earlier, and now the passing game, the last two defenses have taken away the big downfield throws.
Yeah, I am worried about it. I am. I mean, to a degree. You know, like this is – it's part of the progression. When you become a quarterback that does – I mean, Mahomes was answering questions about this leading into this week.
Yeah.
Hey, the Raiders dropped back and – it seemed like this Kansas City offense kind of went to sleep and went away for a little while.
Right.
And they bounce back with a win where they get it in the run game. So, you know, it's I just think it's like rite of passage isn't exactly the right term here. But whether it's Lamar Jackson where, well, a couple of defenses have figured out a really good way to shut that down. He's got to get by it. Mm-hmm. Mahomes, of course, at one point had to get by it. And here's Allen where you have an MVP month and – two straight teams have a certain plan for you on offense. And I'm not saying like they completely focused on, oh, Josh Allen cannot beat this. But they have taken away the big chunk plays. And if the Bills can't run the ball, you know, like you can kind of get this offense to have its share of troubles. Whether their margin of error on a passing play is Allen just missing or a receiver with a drop or John Brown falls down. Like it's 2 weeks in a row where their opening drive – ends on a bad play. One pass is off Andre Roberts' hands picked off. The next is John Brown falls down. If he doesn't, you know, do things get rolling? Is there a rhythm there? It seems like the offense has less of a margin for error than the really, truly great offenses out there, and they still have steps to go. So worried about it? Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I want this to be a great offense, and they're not yet. They've shown signs that maybe they can get there, but there's definitely still a ways to go.
And I think you go to Allen. Allen being off from the get-go last night is the biggest story on offense. And you think about, I mean, Kansas City did a nice job of taking those big plays away, but there were some plays there to be made. There was a chance for a touchdown for Diggs, who's open in the end zone, wherever the heck that was. I think it was in the first half. But he beats his guy, and he's open in the corner of the end zone, and Allen overthrows him. Kansas City played a couple of passes nicely. The flea flicker, they tried to get Brown in the end zone, and it was broken up. There was a play where they threw it to, what, Diggs, although he was kind of running out of space in the back of the end zone. And that was broken up. But then you see other throws where he misses Brown, who's open on a crossing route. And he kind of misses Beasley, open and over the middle on a crossing route for a, what would have been a first down catch and run. But he throws the ball too far off, and Beasley gets like one hand on the football as he reaches out to try and make what would have been a hellacious grab. So I thought he was off from the get-go last night. I think it was a combination of they're taking away those deep throws. When they tried those shots, they couldn't convert, and there were definitely some pass plays last night. Maybe not 20-yard pass plays, but 7 here or 10 there, converted into a first down to keep a drive going pass plays. And he missed. I mean, he just missed guys. And then, you know, I would assume, I mean, John Brown ends up having 4 targets and no catches, which is very un-John Brown-like, that he was playing injured, and that was a factor for him last night. But Josh was off his game, and they weren't helped. There was no help from the running game to get them through last night to buy the offense some time until Allen and the passing game got into a rhythm. They never got into a rhythm last night.
Yeah.
803-0550 to join us. We are going to David in Buffalo next. Thanks for holding on. Welcome to the show.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
I was just wanted to say that I would have liked to see the Bills go for 2 when they scored that last touchdown, only because it could have made it an 8-point game if they get the field goal, and you give the defense just a little bit of wiggle room to, you know, give up a field goal instead of, like, demanding a stop. And even if you get the stop, you're still down by 8 if you miss the field goal. So, or miss the 2-point conversion. But I just want to hear what you guys think about that. Thanks.
Yeah, we had someone calling that earlier, and somebody tweet us as well. We both kind of do agree that you could play that game and kind of plan for, you know, Kansas City to get their points. So, yeah, I think that's there, right?
Yeah, I think you got – honestly, I think you got to hedge your bet.
I don't think it's the total slam dunk. But I think it could be, you know, there's a case to be made for it. I think it's a strong case.
And you're also, again, you're, you know, the whole believe in your defense and all that. On the 2 previous drives, let's see, let me just check the notes. Kansas City went 13 plays for 82 yards and got a touchdown, 10 plays for 75 yards. Of course, you gave them 30 yards on personal fouls and got a field goal. Then you get the score, it's 23-17. To expect your defense, which has not gotten off the field all night, to all of a sudden get that stop, I think you go for the 2. You got to hedge your bets. You leave yourself a chance that, okay, if we don't stop Mahomes and them here, maybe we can limit them to a field goal. Well, if you do that, the game's over. If they score a touchdown, the game's over. And ostensibly, if you limit them to a field goal, it's a 9-point game and the game is over. So I think you should have gone for 2 at that point. Let's see. Thanks for the call, David. Mike in Pennsylvania, you're on WGR on Bills Football Tuesday. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys, good morning. While I do agree that there does need to be a little bit shake-up maybe on the offensive side of the ball, maybe a tight end. They're missing a tight end right now, a true tight end. Maybe Dawson Knox was supposed to be that guy. But I got to be honest with you. The defensive side of the ball worries me, and it has for weeks now. We're just soft up the gut, and I think it just relates back to us missing Star Latuale and Jordan Phillips. And I think teams are now understanding they could just run up the gut, and I think that's why you're seeing.
Well, wait a minute.
Because
is that true? They focused on stopping Derrick Henry and did. They focused on stopping Josh Jacobs and did. And this week they focused on stopping Patrick Mahomes, and finger quotes did. You know, like I think what we're seeing is that, you know, the pick your poison is almost. You're not wrong, Mike, but it's just kind of like a. They have to decide how they're going to give up their yards. And the last 2 weeks before this, it was, let's see if Derek Carr and Ryan Tannehill can beat us. And this week, it was, let's not let Patrick Mahomes beat us. And what you're seeing is the Bills' defense can be beaten any number of ways, I guess. Like, yeah, you're right in that they couldn't stop it last week, but they have committed to it in other weeks and been okay there, no?
And I also think, too, Mike, if you think about the previous 2 opponents, not Kansas City last night, but when they played the Raiders and when they played the Titans, they looked at it and I think they felt, number one weapon to stop against the Raiders, Josh Jacobs. Guess what? Edwards and Ruggs are both out. Then we just got to worry about Waller not having a crazy game, but they were missing some key receivers. So let's focus on Jacobs. They didn't get beat by Jacobs, and they end up winning the football games. Now, Tennessee, again, I think they looked at it and said, let's stop Derrick Henry. And we're worried about Jonnu Smith, and we're worried about A.J. Brown, but they didn't have Humphreys. They didn't have Corey Davis. We're going to make sure Derrick Henry doesn't run for 212 yards. And he didn't. He had whatever he had, 57 yards. Now, they lose the game. But I think to Jeremy's point, look, this defense isn't doing much well right now, and they're not good enough to shut down both aspects of a team. So they're identifying what's the best offensive weapon approach that other team has. Stop Josh Jacobs, stop Derrick Henry, stop Mahomes over the top.
Well, two things, and I do agree with you guys 100%. Now, when you had Starr and you had Jordan, you didn't have to allocate those linebackers to come in. So they play on the middle of the field. So that's my first point that I would argue against that, is that you had space eaters and you had penetration. Mm-hmm. Jordan Phillips' penetration up the gut was just he was an unsung hero on that defense last year. And I mean, he would make play after play after play, goal line stand. So I do agree that they're trying to take away by allocating, and they're doing a good job at that. But the other thing I'll argue is last night, did they really stop Pat Mahomes? I think he only missed six passes.
Yeah, it was 21 and 26. Yeah.
Right, right.
It was the efficient version of the Kansas City passing game. Right? That's what you call an efficient night. He didn't have a blow you off the field, throw for a gazillion yards and big pass plays, but they didn't make any stops against him either. You know, they didn't get any interceptions. The best chance would have been what? Josh Norman got two hands on the ball and wasn't able to come up with a pick. So he had the efficient version of a passing game.
Right. Now, with all that said, we have the trade deadline coming up. I don't want to get too much of a high draft pick to acquire somebody. I'm going to give you guys three positions. You tell me which one you would go after in the trade deadline. Nothing high, but I'm going to give you cornerback, tight end, and defensive tackle, and go.
I would go tight on the defensive
end.
Line.
I would go tight end. Get more offense.
I would go defensive line if there's a tackle or an edge guy. I mean, I would take the help on the defensive line.
And honestly, if I broke down the two defensively, I would take the cornerback. Because even Trey's not playing that well, quite honestly, but the cornerbacks after Trey White, I'm not sure if anybody there can make plays consistently. Mike, thanks.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I lost track of the time. I think we're going to Kevin next. Kevin in Cheektowaga, you're on WGR. Go right ahead. Thanks for holding on.
Good morning, guys. Love the show. I have a couple of questions to ask you guys, then I'll hang up and listen. And the previous caller kind of touched on it. I just wonder if we question at all the moves that Dean and McDermott made by getting rid of Jordan Phillips and even Shaq Lawson. If I remember correctly, we got one of the most attempts at blitzes this year, and yet two of our guys that got the majority of the pressure for us last year, we finally found a spot for Shaq Lawson where he was productive for us. And I know they got decent contracts with other teams, but the money we spent on the guys like Klein, Butler, and Jefferson, it equaled out to roughly the same money, and we know next year that Trent Murphy's off our cap. I'm just wondering what you guys think. I mean, I know we do miss Latuvale with that big body to take up two guys, but like the caller said, Jordan Phillips is one of the most underrated guys we had, and I'll hang up and listen, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, it's. I almost want to say, like, it's tough because you get a salary cap league. You have to make decisions you might not want to make, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to lose Jordan Phillips, but you have to decide, well, I guess we can't afford that guy. And right now, I wonder how many people are thinking about that decision coming on Matt Milano, right?
Yep.
Like, Matt Milano is missed in a big way. So, you can't pay the big money, so you get kind of scrap heap parts and try and piece it together. You know, I don't think this defense is exactly a bargain basement defense, but they have had to go a little bit light there because of commitments elsewhere. You know, the commitment to Trey is gonna affect the roster eventually. You know they've got a clear space for Josh Allen's next contract, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And does Diggs get more money? I mean, they reworked him a bit as it is. So this is what the league and the salary cap does for you. It's the kind of thing where, you know, when the Bills would be pointed out, Howard, to have the most cap space, I would say congratulations. That doesn't last. You know, you've got to find a way to get bargain deals. And that's where your draft picks come in, whether it's Epinesa or it's Cody Ford or it's guys you need to contribute. And they've drafted at positions where we're saying they still need help. Harrison Phillips, right, on the defensive line. A.J. Epinesa on the defensive line. I don't remember how this conversation started, so give me back
Jordan Phillips and the salaries for Shaq and Jordan. Look, first off, Jordan Phillips was not underrated. Nobody thought, everybody knew how good he was since he got here. It, you know, when he first got here from Miami, we looked at it and thought, wow, this guy, he brings some energy. This guy can, in his situational role, can help really get some pass rush. And then last year, he just took off.
And he was a second-round pick, right?
I think so.
I think he was a second-round pick of the Dolphins. Sorry, not the Dolphins. Of the Cardinals? Or where was Jordan Phillips before he was here?
He was with Miami. Yeah, they traded. They got him from the Dolphins.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry. Yep. 52nd overall pick. So, like, he was with the Dolphins and claimed off waivers and then put into a – so it's almost like I want to make this point about Epenesa in a way. Like, maybe in time he'll be ready, and maybe in time – granted, he's not going to play the same position. I understand that. But sometimes you have to kind of wait for things to come along, if it's Epenesa or if it's Cody Ford. I mean, in the case of Jordan Phillips, he's drafted in the second round. Yeah, I always think that he went to Miami. He went to Arizona. It's Shaq Lawson that went to Miami. That's why I get things screwed up about the Bills losing all their defensive linemen. That's the salary cap league, right? That's how it works. You lose a guy that kind of blossomed under you, and now you draft on the defensive line and have to wait for Epenesa to be a difference maker. The money you paid to Trent Murphy, has that ever been worth it?
No. And I think,
no, probably
not. But I also think you can tie that all in, I think, honestly, to this whole discussion. You know, they put a value not only on Jordan Phillips, but they also put a value on the position when you're considering whether or not to keep a player. Jordan Phillips ends up getting $10 million a year from the Arizona Cardinals. I don't think the Bills were going to pay that to Jordan Phillips. I also don't think they would have tied up about $20 million average value per year between him and Latulale. I don't think the Bills wanted to put $20 million into two defensive tackles. And I think if you factor in him leaving, I don't think they were going to pay Shaq what he got on the open market. And they're looking at it. They bring in Addison. Why? Well, Shaq's not coming back. That creates an opening. Trent Murphy's not coming back. First off, he might not make the roster. If he does, he's in the final year of his contract, and he's not getting re-signed. So I think they looked at it and thought, we're going to spend, what did they spend, $9 a year, whatever it is, on Mario Addison because we're losing Shaq, and Murphy's not long for the Bills' world. So they made a decision on the defensive line. I don't think they wanted to pay what Jordan Phillips got, and I think they realized we've got to get ends in here because Murphy's not going to be here and Shaq's gone. So that led to what they decided to do on the defensive line. And they're not as good as they were last year on the defensive line without those guys. There's no question about that. And then Star opting out made it worse too.
Right. And, you know, sometimes we talk about trades and these moves like fantasy football because, you know, you are like Dynasty League. I like to make these comparisons because you're making decisions like, oh, should I draft this guy? What should I do? And free agency feels like a guillotine league to me, right? Like, you lose those two pieces, and you go to the open market and think like, all right, well, what are we going to do on the defensive line? Who's available? I might as well spend my money on somebody that I can hope helps me and gets me through this week, next week, and so on and so forth. Like, you might not love the Mario Addison signing. You might not love Josh Norman, but what the Bills are doing is trying to find anybody that can fill the spots for them because, you know, they've got holes, like a lot of teams do. And they're still a good team. I think they're still a good team. They've played two teams that are, I think, that are
better.
Clearly better than them.
Yeah. And so that's why I'm not, like, totally down in the dumps and feeling that despaired or angry or anything, because I think they're still good. And I think they can still make the playoffs, and I think they can still win their division. And they have two really big games coming up in the division the next 2 weeks. Let's see, 803-0550 to join us. We're taking your calls all morning long. And you might need to add a smile on your Buffalo Football Tuesday. You can do that with WGR and Crosby's. Earn points and rewards every day with the new My Crosby's Rewards. Stop in today and learn more.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The snap. Josh Allen fires a strike. Cole Beasley makes a catch at the two, trying to dive into the end zone. He is in! Touchdown, Buffalo! Cole Beasley fought for those 2 yards that he desperately needed to put the Bills in the end zone. Touchdown, Bills!
Murph coming up in a moment. Bills lose to Kansas City 26-17. The offense got 206 yards on 50 plays. Josh Allen, bad night, 122 passing. The Bills are 4-2. The Chiefs are 5-1. The Bills will visit the Jets on Sunday. Maybe Sam Darnold, maybe Joe Flacco. Adam Gase isn't sure if Darnold will be ready to start. On Sunday, he's missed the last two games. The Eagles lose a couple of offensive players to injuries. Miles Sanders out a week or two. Zach Ertz up to a month. Arizona beats Dallas last night, 38-10. Raheem Mostert, running back from the Niners, expected to go on IR and miss at least three games with a high ankle sprain. And the World Series begins tonight. It's Los Angeles and Tampa, game one. First pitch just after 8 o'clock. We'll have that game here on WGR beginning at 7:30. Election Day 2020 is quickly approaching. Are you registered and ready to vote? Early voting begins October 24th. Absentee ballots must be requested by October 27th. Complete details at elections.erie.gov. Vote. Make it count and get more info at vote411.org. We're going to get to your calls, too. Murph coming up in a moment. And your calls, 803-0550, 888-552-550. If you're on hold, hang on. We're going to get back to you in just a moment as we get your thoughts on the Bills' loss to Kansas City last night. Bad night for the offense. The defensive philosophy was let them run the ball, don't get killed in the passing game. And Kansas City ran the ball to the tune of 37 minutes of time of possession, and the Bills not getting off the field on third down. So John's going to join us right now on our Wester Hotline. Mr. Murphy, it's Howard and Jeremy. Welcome to Bills Football Tuesday this morning. So let's start with the Bills' defensive plan. So the plan was, let's not let Mahomes have a big night. He didn't, but it led to Kansas City holding onto the ball forever and the Bills' defense not getting him off the field.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough team to defend, right? They have answers all over the place, and the answers came in the run game last night, which surprised many of us. I didn't see that coming, but they're complete offensive package. They're very well coached, and, you know, the Bills had to choose one thing or the other, and they chose to defend the pass. That worked, but they really gave up way too much on the ground. And the other thing I got to mention is Patrick Mahomes, who was great last night. He didn't throw any spectacular highlight reel passes or ridiculous, you know, first down big plays, but he just has total command of that intricate and very complex offense. And in terms of managing the clock and knowing when to run, identifying what he's looking at, I thought he was outstanding. He is clearly an MVP. There's no question about that.
Yeah, he's tough. He's tough to defend because, you know, your first instinct, like the Bills played last night, is to drop back to take away the pass, and then he moves out of the pocket, and you know, he can run and he can get yardage. And the minute you try and maybe break out of coverage and move up, you know, until he gets to that line of scrimmage, you know, he can throw the ball almost anywhere on the field and make a play.
Yeah. He can buy time for himself. You know, he's mobile enough so he can get outside the pocket. He's very dangerous outside the pocket throwing the ball. He's just, he's a complete package and an offense that really suits him. And like I said, they have way too many answers on offense for anybody to handle. The Bills couldn't handle the big one yesterday. They took away the pass, but gave up way too much on the ground.
Murph, offensively for the Bills, the lack of production in the running game, specifically the running backs, has been a continuous issue. But now the last two games, the passing offense has been kept in check by the Titans and the Chiefs. So how concerned are you about the Bills' offense in general, because they have not made the plays in their toughest two games that they've made in their first four?
Yeah, it's definitely worth worrying about, right? And what got them through the first four at 4-0 was a tremendous passing game that has slowed down considerably. I don't think it was a great night to throw the ball last night with the constant rain, but that's that goes for both sides. I just think they need to play better. Josh needs to play better. He started out the game with a couple of bad incompletions and sort of never recovered too much from that. There was the one drive in the fourth quarter when he was throwing it pretty well. He threw a great pass to Stephon Diggs for a first down during that drive, but that was, I think it was 14 yards. That was his best throw of the night. He's missing a lot of the things that he was getting for himself in the Buffalo offense in the first four games, and he needs to get it back. I mean, if they're going to rely on the pass, that means they're going to rely on the quarterback, and last night in particular, they couldn't do that.
Why do you think they're having issues with the running game? Is it the line? Is it the backs? Any ideas on what's happening with that portion of their game?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think it's a pretty complicated answer. Let's start with the line. They've had a number of injuries, and I think they're probably at the point where they can't wait much longer for Feliciano to be back, because he brings an attitude of physicality and toughness to the offensive line that they've been missing. And beyond that, they have other injuries too. You know, they Cody Ford, I'm not sure how serious that's going to be, but that could be a big blow for the offensive line. Winters at guard has been okay, but he'd miss some time. I think they got to get a healthy group before they do anything else. They're not overly physical either, that they can be better. And they were up against a team that, coming into that game, the Chiefs had given up a lot of yards on the ground and didn't give up much to the Buffalo Bills, and that's concerning too. It's not just all offensive line. It's the running backs, Singletary. Zach Moss got a little play last night, but they're just not there yet, and I'm not sure what the problem is. As I said, it's pretty complex. I can't figure it out.
Okay, so big picture, Murph, 4-2, which is a good place to be, but their two toughest tests, they did not play well in either game, and they lose both to Tennessee and Kansas City. So take a step back, look at the six games. What are you thinking about the Bills at 4-2?
Well, I mean, it'd be nice to have one or both wins that they let get away, but I don't think 4-2 is a bad place to be with the Jets coming up and then the Patriots after that, right? I think there's a chance they get to midseason with six, at least five wins, and that'll be a good first half of the season. You're right. I think the Rams are a very good team, too, and they had to come from behind to beat them. But these last 2 weeks, they've gone against two of the better teams in the AFC and come up short, both of them, especially on offense. They've got to solve that problem as they move forward. I don't think they're off schedule. You know what I mean? I think I don't know who you pick to win those games in your weekly predictions, but I don't think they're off schedule. I think if they keep playing the way they have the last couple of weeks, they will quickly get off schedule. But I think they're not off schedule yet. They've got some issues to fix and some problems to solve. But I think they're still on target for double-digit wins and a playoff spot, maybe a division title.
Honestly, Murph, we were talking about that earlier. And honestly, if you go back before when they got done with the Jets and the Dolphins, and we looked at the next four games. I would have said, in fact, I think I did, 4-2? Okay, you go 2-2 the next four games. You're going to beat the Jets. You're 5-2. You'll, in all likelihood, be in first in the division with New England coming here, and you got a chance to beat them and be 6-2, and I would have been very happy. And I still would be very happy with that. But, of course, what the problem is, when they stepped up in class, like we're not discussing are the Bills in with the top tier in the conference right now, because when they stepped up in class with the Titans and the Chiefs, they played their two worst games of the season.
Yeah, and that's again, a long way to go this season, but that's something you worry about as you get closer to postseason. We're not close yet. Can they play against the Chiefs, for instance? I do think they can handle the Titans. I think that, the four turnovers by there, three turnovers in that game by the Bills were the mitigating factor there. But the Chiefs, with all those offensive weapons, with all the answers they have on offense, I think they are a particular challenge. There's a reason why they're regarded as the best team in the league, and the Bills and anybody else will have trouble going up against them.
All right, good news, Murph. You mentioned off schedule. We're now back on schedule. It's a norm. Your next two segments are a normal Football Friday and a normal Football Monday. knock on wood, with a Sunday 1 o'clock game coming up.
That's great. Can you get that in writing, please?
No, no, I absolutely can't. No, I can't. You can't put anything in writing in the COVID era. So it's just,
right.
It's all on paper at this point, Murph.
Right.
All right, thanks, John. Have a good week. We'll talk to you Friday.
Thanks, Howard.
John Murphy on our Western Hotline, and his appearance with us is brought to you by, was brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you, by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women, and by Sullivan's Brewing Company, from Ireland to Buffalo, the best ales in the world. We are going to Neil in Buffalo next. Neil, thanks for holding on. Welcome to WGR.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. I see a definite problem with our offensive line and our defensive line, but what really bothers me is how our defensive line and linebackers cannot shed blocks. This has been going on all year. We can't get off of blocks. And my proof on that is every time when Kansas City ran, our guys were blocked all over the field. They looked like they were spread apart, so far apart, because they couldn't get off of their blocks. And that's a big-time worry, for at least for me, who am I, but that's what I worry about this year. I think our offense still has upside. I think Josh Allen will have his good games. I'm not too worried about the offense. I'm really worried about the defense. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks for taking my call.
You know, it's offense v. defense. One of the things that is always in the mix here is your expectation. And, you know, it's not to say I thought the defense played great, but I expected them to get beaten for points and yards. And the fact that it looked a little different with the run game instead of the passing game, you know, I know Kansas City probably could have had more than 26 if they had a different game script where the Bills are scoring. But, you know, when you give up 26 to the best offense that you've faced yet, arguably, maybe Tennessee has a claim to that as well, I think, okay, you weren't great, but I expected that.
Yeah.
The offense, you know, Howard, we were talking about not punting. we were kind of maybe not like realistically expecting them to never punt in this game, but you were expecting 30 points.
Yeah,
and
it was.
And they had 10 for most of the game. So expectation, right, is isn't there some sort of quote, expectations, the mother of disappointment or something like that? Or
if not, that sounds like a really cool quote.
But it really is. Like your disappointment is driven by your expectation. And I had expectations for this offense to bounce back, and it definitely didn't.
Yeah.
It needs to against the Jets. And even if it does, it'll be, that's great, going to need it against New England. You know, the offense carried them to victories in Vegas and L.A. and Miami, for that matter. Fitz threw the ball all over, right? So it's about, what do you expect? I don't expect this defense to win them many games. I do expect this offense to carry them. So when the offense doesn't, that's who I end up disappointed in. The defense is a long-term issue that they've got to find answers on. The offense is, how am I going to win games? I need you.
And the troublesome part of that discussion is the passing game the last two games. Much more so last night than against Tennessee. I mean, they were just downright awful last night. Josh was bad. I didn't expect the defense to win or to carry the day and or win the game for the Bills last night. Again, if you didn't tell me anything about the game and you told me, you know, they'd give up. Actually, if you told me they gave up 466 yards, I'll tell you they gave up 35 points or more. But if you told me 26 points, I'll say the Bills are winning the game because I know their offense will be able to beat that. The troublesome part of last night, we talked earlier about the defense. Does it do anything well? Not really. If you look at the offense, its strength is throwing the ball. It has thrown the football very well this season, at least through the first four games anyway. It has not run the ball. What happened last night? 122 yards passing. One good drive to speak of. Off target. When guys were open, he misses them. He overthrows Diggs in the end zone. Nothing. So that's why it's troublesome what Tennessee did and what Kansas City did, because Josh Allen and the passing offense has to prove, if you're going to take this approach and you're going to make us throw the underneath stuff and take away the deep plays and do all that, okay, find a way to beat it. You got to find a way to make some plays downfield anyway. One pass play all night, over 20 yards. One. And it comes in the fourth quarter. That's the troublesome part of the game last night. Their strength of this team overall, offense, defense, special teams, is throwing the football, and the quarterback, and their depth of targets in the passing game. And that went right out the window last night and wasn't very good in Tennessee either. To me, that's the biggest concern. I know we're talking about the defense. I know people worried. They're not winning games because of their defense. The defense can try and keep them in some games where you think you're playing a really good offensive team, but they're going to be, like you just said, they're carried by their offense. Specifically, they're carried by their passing game. When that doesn't work, you got problems in River City. Or is it troubles in River City? Well, it's something bad in River City. 803-0550 to join us. We'll sneak in a break. Everybody who's on hold, we appreciate your patience. It's one of those mornings where, thankfully, we're getting a lot of calls. It does lead to some longer times. We appreciate your patience very much. We're open the rest of the way. No more guests, so we're just going to be taking your calls at 803-0550. It is Bills Football Tuesday, presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That's the dynamic offense that you play against. You know, we understood that with a guy like Mahomes, he can throw it all over the field. He's a general out there. You know, we felt like their back was really good. The runs downhill, breaks a lot of tackles. And then with their weapons they have on the outside, including Kelce, you know, we knew that they could take the top off. We felt like we did well, limiting them from taking the top off. The run game is just another part of their game. They executed well. So we'll get in, watch the film, correct it, and build off of it.
It's Bills safety Micah Hyde. Two straight losses for the Bills, first to Tennessee, then to Kansas City. And they dropped to 4-2. Defense had its share of struggles against the Chiefs, of course, in the run game. Offense, 2 weeks in a row, not getting things done. We're taking your calls at 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Bills Jets next up, and the latest is that Adam Gase isn't sure if Sam Darnold will be available for that game. So looking like a lot more of Joe Flacco, Frank Gore, Michael Pirine, and the Jets. To the phones, Chris in Lancaster. Good morning, Chris. You're on WGR.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, the previous caller kind of stole my thunder about the defense not being able to shed blockers. And, you know, the other point that I wanted to make is I respectfully disagree with you, Howard, and Jeremy. I think our offense coming into the last two games knows that our defense – struggles terribly to stop people. And every time we get the ball, I really believe our offense has this mental aspect of the game that it's do or die. We have to get into a sprint with these teams we're playing, because if we don't score, we're going to fall two or three scores behind. And guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but since the second half of the Miami game, I believe our defense has done a three and out one time in all these games. And I mean, how many of us are watching this game saying, somebody make a play?
Yeah.
You know, third and nine, third and 19. So I'm going to hang up and listen, but guys, we're in trouble. I still think our offense is very good, but this defense is amongst the worst I've seen in years, and we got to fix it or we're in big trouble. Thanks again. Bye now.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I mean, I don't disagree. Like, I'm trying to avoid making it just offense versus defense because they both have their issues. But I know what you mean. Like, the offense doesn't have a big doesn't have much room for error here when the defense can't get off the field. And you might say that that leads them to feel more pressure. That's sure. But that's the job. You know, no matter what happens, unless there are onside kicks that are surprising – you alternate possessions. Your defense gets beat, your offense gets a chance to answer. In every single game that has ever been played, your offense gets a chance to answer. So, you know, as much as you say the offense feels the pressure, the defense won't get a stop, at the same time, the defense can't get off the field and gets gassed on a 12-play drive. All right, offense, pick us up. They don't have the answer. if the Bills only have the balls for only have the ball for 2 minutes in a quarter, part of that is on the Bills' offense. And I know we've seen two games in a row where they're not getting a lot of possessions. Well, the other team's not getting a lot of possessions either in that case, but the difference is it's about successful drives versus failed drives. And if your defense is not stopping the other team, it is on your offense to get successful drives and scoring drives. And, you know, I just felt like the Bills were in that game and needed their offense of the first 4 weeks. And if they lose 35-31, we can be upset with the defense. But when you only score 17, it was never going to do it. And sure, it's 17 points, but you didn't have that many possessions. I just, every time a game like this happens, I come out of it wanting to be the Chiefs' offense, right? Like, what the Bills need to be able to do is win multiple ways. The Chiefs decide, hey, all right, you're going to give us no numbers in the box. We're going to run it all day. And that is what the Bills actually asked them to do. Please, run all day. Chiefs, okay. The Chiefs actually asked the same thing of the Bills, and the Bills can't do it. I gave the stats earlier today. That Devin Singletary, this season when facing, or this season is 3.8 yards per carry. They have eight in the box or more on 1% of his runs. Like, the Bills are dialing up the matchups they want and not running well. And, you know, how do you keep a defense honest? You punish them for letting for what they're letting you do. Okay, we'll let you run the ball. All right, we're going to run the ball a lot. And the Bills can't punish them like that. So, you know, I get it. If we just had a show about the offense on Tuesday and a show about the defense on Wednesday, we could get all the calls in the world, and there would be a lot of good points. But I can't do it. I can't bail out an offense that scored not enough against Tennessee and not enough against Kansas City. Yes, your defense was struggling. I expected that in both games. I did not expect the offense to be as, I don't know, toothless as it was in these last two. I just, you know, I want to be the team that scored the 26 and instead of the team that, you know, is asking, how about a couple of stops? But I get it. I get it. You know, I think we all kind of have our own leaning one way or the other, offense or defense. And I've, for 20 years, I've been asking for more offense. And now that the team has a unit that looks like they can get it, I'm not shying away from it. I'm not scared of it. I'm not scared of giving up 26 to the Chiefs. I'm not scared of letting Clyde Edwards-Helaire run for 200 yards. You know, Patrick Mahomes averages 8 yards a pass. Clyde Edwards-Helaire averages 6 yards a run. I'd rather give up six all day on the average play. I need answers on the offense, and it wasn't there. So I agree and disagree. Like, I think this is where you are when you face the Super Bowl champs. You know, they're the best. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. I will believe you about the three and out since the Miami game. That might be right. I'll see if I can look into that. Three and out percentage is important. It's a way to get the ball back. You know, we can talk about forcing turnovers, but making a stop and getting the other team off the field is huge. To me, there's one thing about the defense I'm ranting and raving about. It's the pass rush. They've got nothing. They've got no pressure on quarterbacks. And in the last 2 weeks, they played Tannehill and Mahomes, who are two of the best in the last, you know, 15 games they've played. Yes, Tannehill is actually on that level. We'll see how it looks against Flacco. I bet the defense looks better. Has a good day. And then Cam Newton after that. 803-0550 to join us. More of your calls. 1-888-550-2550 here on WGR. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts.